Bottom of Lamed Tesman Bey is the very last line. We're discussing the Mishnah, soaking some of the bran in water, and putting some of the wheat in water to cover a cut, to use as a band-aid of some sort. Different things the Mishnah told us that one should refrain from doing, lest it turn into chametz. And the Gemara also talks about different things, not to add flour to a tavshil, because it might turn into chametz. So we're up to the last line in Lamed Tesman Bey's, Amar Rav Yosef, lo lichlot inish. So Rashi says, the very last Rashi on the page, lo lichlot means beroschim. A person should not put in boiling water, hitrei chite, two pieces of wheat at the same time. Rashi says, garine chitin, some of the seeds of chitin. Don't put two seeds of chita in the same pot boiling water, behade hadade, with each other. Dilma ozlechada, one of the pieces of wheat might be yosve bitzira dechaver, might sit on the side of the other. Rashi says the sedek shechaver, the crack of the other one. So you have two seeds here, two wheat seeds. One of them has a crack in it, let's say, and the concern that one seed might sit on top of the other seed and cover that crack. What's that? What's the problem with that? Below salikalhu dikulo demaya, and the water is not going to be able to penetrate into the seed of wheat. Me'arba ruchosa, from all four sides of the seed of wheat. But also the chimus, and it's going to end up being chametz. So I'm not sure how these things really work, but Gemara is telling us that the seeds of the wheat, in order for it to stop from being chametz, if you boil it, if you cook it, and then you take it out, it's not going to turn into chametz anymore. Now, it's only true if all four sides, or every side of the piece of wheat, will come into contact with the boiling water. But if you have two pieces of wheat, which one lies on top of the other one, and it's blocking part of the other wheat, it's not going to, both wheats are going to be blocking, I guess, part of each of them, it's not going to allow the boiling water to penetrate fully into the achita, and that will not stop it from turning to chametz, meaning it might still get into chametz. For whatever reason that is, I don't know how it works, has to come into contact with the boiling water from all sides of this piece of wheat. It's actually brought down, the Ramah says, this is very much true when it comes to baking matzahs. You have to be very careful that none of the matzahs are overlapping with each other. When you place them in the oven, they can't stick on top of each other because it blocks some of the matzahs from being baked.
That's why you have to clean the machines so thoroughly.
Exactly. Between each one, you have to clean them thoroughly, because if any residues left over, that's basically blocking the new matzah with the old matzah in between. Exactly, it has to be cleaned in between each one, based on this Gemara.
Shmur matzah
really means is that it was done with the proper shmir. We'll get to it in a second. Now, in terms of baking matzahs, there are tons and tons of chumras people have in terms of baking matzahs. You go to the brisket matzah baking versus the babov versus, and you name the sect of chassidim, each one has their own chumras how to do it. So there's no one real way. So how long it takes to knead it from the beginning of the process to the end of the process, you clean it between each one, there's so many different chumras involved.
Either way they clean it between each.
Most cases we'll clean them between, exactly.
Some
actually take apart the oven entirely, clean it out in between each one. It's a very big chumrah. So if you want to look for chumrahs, there's definitely plenty of them in baking matzahs. But shmur matzah, simply speaking, is just that it had the proper shmira in terms of watching from beginning to end. The cleansing process is already a different level. So the Gemara says now, Amar Abaye. Bai says another din in terms of watching that something doesn't turn to chametz, lo lichruch inish. So a person should not, as Rashi says what lichruch means, I think it means to burn, to cook together. Right, so a person shouldn't, lichruch inish betray shibule b'hadadeh, he shouldn't use two stalks. Before we were talking about the seed, now we're talking about two stalks. A person shouldn't cook two stalks together. Stalks is like the kelach we spoke about yesterday, the klach of the center of the stem. So, two stalks of chita, a person should not cook them together. Dilma nafke maya mehai ubala idech. Perhaps some of the water that's in one of the stalks, as we said, every food has some level of oil in it. So some of the oil of one stalk from the cooking is going to come out and go into the other one. And va'asalide chimetz, and for some reason that's going to cause chametz. So you have to, if you want to cook stalks on Pesach, it should be each one done separately. So Amar Le Rava says, ihachi, if you're so concerned from oil going from one stalk to the other stalk, so then afilu chadanami, even within one stalk, you shouldn't be able to cook one stalk. Dilma nafik mehai reisha ubala idach reisha. Maybe you have this one long stalk, And the oil is going to come out from one end of it, and it's going to go back in the other end of the stalk, and that's going to cause chametz to take place. So therefore, he says he doesn't like that. Rava rejects it by one should not be concerned with cooking these stalks together. So what's the reason? So El Amar Rava may peros nenu. These are the juices that come out of the stalks of wheat are juice fruit fruit juices. U may peros ena machbitzin, and the fruit juices, as we said a number of times already in the Masechta, that fruit juices does not cause any chametz. So therefore, Rava says that you are allowed to cook one stalk, or you could cook two stalks, because the may pairs that go back and forth is not machmetz. Abai, however, was concerned initially that a person should not cook two stalks together. And then the Gemara says, however, hadar be Abai, Abai was choser in what he said. He was choser, he retracted mehahi, what he said initially. The chol agava midilayu lo machmetzai. So this means that Rashi says v'hadar be. This, a lot of these things are very confusing just to get in the mitzias. So Rashi says v'hadar be abai the chol agav midlayu lo mechame the top kol derech nifilasan lo mechame. Whenever water or liquid is dripping, it's not going to cause chametz. It's the constant movement. We spoke about when there's a dlaf, when there's a drip from the roof constantly falling on the dough, that's not going to cause chametz because there's constant movement. We also said in boiling water, if water is constantly boiling, that will not cause chametz. Chametz needs some rest, some quiet time for it to turn to chametz. So what he's saying, Abai says, since the may peros from one stalk is moving into the other stalk, that constant movement back and forth will never allow it, give it the opportunity to turn to chametz. So we see here, Abaye was actually choser, retracted in what he said. Damar Abaye, that Abaye said, Hai chatzva, this type of pot, de avishne sichifi share. So this type of pot that was placed upwards. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, chatzve da vishuna, you actually have a special pot where you would dry out these types of pieces of wheat and bran. Sechif, it was sechif, it means shari, Rashi says, in piv kafu lamata, if you have this jug which is facing upwards, there's no lid on top, it's completely open, you have a pot you place in the oven, no cover. Sheyehu amayim haniflatim, the water, the oil coming out of this piece of wheat, minak keli al yedei chom, from the heat and the evaporation, ha'or zoven, it flows upward, v'yotzin l'chutz, it leaves. That's permitted, that's shari, because it's not going back into the stalks. Any of the fruit juices that are there completely goes up and leaves. However, zakifi, if it's upside down, the pot is placed downwards where there's a lid keeping everything within this container in the place in the oven, that's aser. So Rashi explains, zakifa, shehi zokov kedarko, aser, shemaim niflatin v'chozim v'nivlon. It stays within the pot and it keeps going round and then the juices stay there. So that's the opinion. Sorry?
If it's turned upside down, then it's okay, and if it's upside...
No, I think the other way around. If it's covered...
If it's upside down, it's good.
You know, if it's upside down, it's not good, because then the water is staying within the pot, and it's being maintained, and it's going to make all the water's going to make it chametz. If it's open, uncovered, the water's going to come up and evaporate.
Sleepy, sorry. Coffee lamata.
Which way are you looking at, Zari?
Sleepy, sorry.
Oh, so how does that make sense then?
If it's down,
so then the water the chor should stay within it then. Oh, maybe we're saying it's not that. Maybe I'm thinking the wrong way. The water's not evaporating. The water's turning into a liquid, not into a gas, into a liquid. And if it's downward, you're very right. Downward, it falls to the bottom. But if it's upwards, it lives on top. The water now is the liquid that stays on the bottom of the pot. There, thank you. Stays in the bottom of the pot, and that makes it turn to chametz. So that's the difference. So that's the opinion of us. So Abai retracted. Initially, Abai thought any time you have two stalks going back and forth, it's going to be a problem. He retracted. He said, no, only when there's a bottom to it where the liquid will be maintained within in the pot. And Rava says, Amar afilu zikifa nami shari. Even when it is upwards where there's a bottom to it, he still will permit it, because the reason being, as he said above, may peros nenu, may peros enu machmitzin. When it comes to fruit juices, and this is the juices from the wheat, will not cause something to turn to chametz. Okay. So now the Gemara discusses something we mentioned before, something called losisin. Losisin, Machlokas is showing what exactly losisin is. Does the article tell us what losisin is, like the next few words? Rashi says to wash it off a little bit, but there is a little Machlokas how to define it. Did they say soaking there, do you know?
Yeah,
okay. Soaking, okay. So the big discussion we're about to see, whether one's allowed to soak the pieces of wheat prior to making into matzah, and apparently it's helpful because it removes some of the outer shell of the chita. So the Gemara initially says, "Ein lo susin se'orin bePesach." One cannot soak the piece of barley on Pesach. The im losus, if one does, nisbeku, if it, the soaking causes the piece of barley to crack, sasuros, that becomes asur, lo nisbaku mutaros. But after soaking it, there are no cracks in it, then it's mutar. And somehow the cracking, in the Machlokes had to understand why cracking is prohibited, but Rashi, once it's cracking, it allows it to become chametz much quicker. So if you soaked it to the point where it started cracking, then it's going to allow it to turn to chametz, you have to throw that out. But if it didn't crack, so it won't be quick to turn to chametz. And that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Yossi Omer, shorin b'chometz, b'chometz tzomtzen. No, if you start seeing it to crack, so simply you start seeing it to get larger and larger and begin to crack, place it in vinegar, and the vinegar is going to seal it and prevent it from further becoming chometz. That's the opinion of Yossi. That's the way of fixing it, placing this barley in vinegar. So Amar Shmuel, ein halacha k'Rabbi Yossi, we do not pass like Rabbi Yossi, we do not rely on placing in chametz, we don't believe that's going to prevent it from turning into chametz. So Amar Rabbi Chista, Amar Marukva, lo nisbeku mamish, doesn't really mean it has to become starting to crack. Ela kol she'ilu manichan al pichaves, if you place on top of some type of jar, v'hein nisbakos melem, and the chaves had wine in it, and from the potency of the wine below, the smell, the strength of the wine, will cause it to break, that's enough. Meaning, if you start seeing the barley, it's soaking in water. You don't see it cracking, but you know it got thick enough that if I were to place the barley on top of a jar or a jug of wine, a barrel of wine, that wine is going to cause it to start cracking, that's going to be problematic. But it doesn't have to actually crack, there's the potential to become cracked. However, Shmuel Amar Nisbaku Mamish, no, it really means it has to be actually cracked. If it's not actually cracked, you are allowed to use this barley that was soaked for Pesach. Avit Shmuel Uvda Bedura, there was a mice that Shmuel did in this place called Dura, the Beit Bar, Chashu. Nisbaku Mamish, and in this place, he was, did like he said, only if it became actually cracked was it going to be a problem. And that long word, by the way, Rashi tells us, Bedura Debeim Bar Chushi, is all the name of a kfar, shal also ish, the name of a village by the, of the person of Bar Debeim Bar Chushi. Says the Gemara further. So from this point, we see that we pass like the Tanakhama, that if it cracked, it will be problematic. If it didn't crack, you can use it. Comes along Rabba, I'm a Rabba, Baal Nefesh lo yilsos. A Baal Nefesh should not do any soaking. So Gemara says, my iria Baal Nefesh, why only a Baal Nefesh? Afilu kuli amun, I mean, everyone shouldn't do this. Deha tanya ain losin sorim Pesach. We have a brayse above that says nobody should do soaking on Pesach. It's only if he were to do it, then b'dieved are you allowed to use it, depends whether it's cracked. But l'chachila, nobody should do the soaking. What? Very good question. So Rashi says, Rashi defines Baal Nefesh as a chassid. What's a chassid? I don't know what a chassid is. So a chassid is someone who's a Baal Chesed. I'm not sure exactly how to define chassid. A chassid, Rabbeinu Chananel says, he's a little more clear with the definition. Rabbeinu Chananel, around halfway down, he says, I'm a rabba Baal Nefesh, klomer ha-mitzrachik me-reach ha-veira. Person who wants to be very careful to distance himself from any sin. U-medaktik harbei al-atma. He's very medaktik on himself. That's how he defines it. And it might be Rashi's definition of chassid, but I'm not sure how he defines a chassid. You have to look all over Shas where you see the word chassid come up.
It's like, I feel like it's like piskishuism, it's called a machma, it's a meshuba. It's like one of those things.
Right, so, but this is saying, that's anybody who wants. Anybody who wants could do that. But here we say a Baal Nefesh shouldn't do, so am I Baal Nefesh, or you Baal Nefesh? How do I know if I'm considered a Baal Nefesh? Can anybody be a Baal Nefesh? According to that line is that call anybody who wants to is allowed to. It's open. Here is saying, if you are a Baal Nefesh, what does it mean? Rabbi Nechananel says, someone who's very machmir not to do any Avera, distance himself from any Avera. There are other definitions here. The Ibn Ezra has a different definition. He says that a person who's moshel av nafsho and is nefesh, not moshel on himself, that he has control. He makes the decisions. He has very much self-control. And that such a person, he's considered Baal Nefesh. Slightly different than Rabbi Nechananel. Again, I'm not sure how Rashi, how he defines a chassid.
It's the same thing, Yusuf.
Right, slightly different. Again, a person wants to be very careful, but they are slightly different, I think, conceptually.
Somebody goes to flame a shir sadin.
Right. So that's different than Baal Nefesh. Baal Nefesh, maybe according to Ibn Ezra, a person who has control over his nefesh doesn't necessarily mean a person who's doing l'fnei mishur sadin. He has control. He has very much self-control. Rabbi Yochanan is a person who's very medactic to do everything everything right. So again, the Gemara says, quotes from the Rabbah, that a Baal Nefesh shouldn't soak it. And the Gemara asks, my Iri Baal Nefesh, why only Baal Nefesh? Filu Kuli Amanami, everybody should refrain from soaking. The Hotanya again, Ein Losin Sar V'Pesach. Says the Gemara, Hachi Kamar, Baal Nefesh Afilu Chitin Dishrire Lo Yosos. Our Bryce above was talking about barley, one should not soak barley. But wheat, the implication was wheat was permitted. Rabbah comes along and says, even a Baal Nefesh shouldn't even soak wheat, even though wheat there's more room to be makel, because the shrir and rashi's cushion, they're very hard to crack open, so very easy, so it shouldn't be much of a problem, so you should be allowed to soak chitin. A Baal Nefesh shouldn't soak even chitin. That's what Rabbah's coming to add. Amar le Rav Nachman, man de tzas le Abba, somebody who listens to Abba, so ochil nama di fusha. He's a person who's going to end up eating achol defusha. Let's look at Rashi here. So says Rashi, La'aba is a reference, first of all, to Rabbah. Rabbah, Hachi Karle Lashon Rabbanus, a title of Rabbanus. So anyone who listens to Rabbah, that they shouldn't soak wheat. So says Rashi further, Man did tzais le La'aba yochel lechem ifusha, klomolote sulsa nikia. He's not going to have this clean type of flour to use for the bread. Why? Deha Bei Rav Hunal Lasse Ubei Rav Bar Avin Lasse. So Rashi says all these individuals, we don't need to Rashi, but all these individuals, these Rabbanim, did Lasse. So I guess the point is that the first point is apparently you need to soak wheat to make it to have Nikia, Solus Nikia, to have a clean white bread, white flour. You have to do the soaking process first. If you weren't to do the soaking process, you wouldn't have a Solus Nikia. So according to you, Rabbah, people are machmir. If someone wants to take upon himself to be considered Baal Nefesh, and he doesn't do soaking, he's not going to have this clean type of solas. That's going to be, I'm not sure what the problem with that is, but that's just a statement he's pointing out.
The bread's from molding.
Oh, that's just the Ipusha. He says, because if it's, when it's not Nikiya, it's more likely to become moldy. That's the point. Okay. So when it's not clean, it's going to quickly turn into mold, and that's going to be very problematic. So that would be the difficulty. Not a halachic problem, but a very practical problem. Especially they bake matzah so many months earlier than Pesach, and at least nowadays it's going to turn into moldy bread. And further, he says that in the house of Rav Huna and the house of Rava, they did do soaking of the wheat. So he seems to reject this chumra of Rava. Now Rav Amar also lilsos. He says one is not allowed to; it's forbidden to do the soaking. Ela hadatanya ein losin so for Pesach, but the Brisa says sorin hudelo hachitishari. So how could Rava say across the board it's also to do soaking? The Brisa only says specifically sower, and only barley is a problem to do the soaking. But the implication is wheat would be allowed. How then does Rava say across the board all lisisa is aser? The Gemara says lomi bai kamar, lomi bai chitin. Don't need to tell me chitin came into isbeit siri. They have little cracks in them already. Rashi says what siri are. I think they mean cracks. Aili bei maya, that allows the water to penetrate into the wheat. Avasara the shi, but the barley which is smooth, has no cracks in it, that is going to aim a shaper dami. Kamashvala, no. Of course you can't soak wheat because wheat already has cracks. So once there are cracks in it, it allows it to become chametz much sooner. That's obvious. But maybe you would have thought barley, which is a smoother type of surface, won't allow any water to penetrate. Maybe that would be allowed. Comes along the brisa, kamashvala, to teach us that no, even barley is problematic. In the end, Hada Amar Rava, in the end, Rava says, Mutter Lulso, so he retracts from everything and says, one is allowed to soak. The Tanya Yotim Pas Nakia Bahadra, Vyevshar Nakia Bololisisa. The Brisa explicitly says that one can be Yotse Matzah with this white, clear type of bread, and it's impossible to get this Nakia, this clean type of solas, unless there was Lisisa, unless there was soaking prior. So we see clearly from the Brisa that Lisisa is permitted. Now it's brought down, the Rishon, how do we Paskin? We Paskin, like the end of the Gemara, that one's allowed to do Lisisa. However, it's very strongly advised not to really to stay away from it anyways. The Torah says, however, a little bit of soaking, slight soaking, is permitted because that doesn't really qualify as soaking. Apparently, they wash the wheat a little bit, and in the times of the Torah, at least, I don't know exactly what's done nowadays, but in times of the Torah, they soaked it a little bit, and that, he said, didn't really qualify as lasisa as the Gemara talks about it.
Even nowadays, like barley, for example, if you wash it with water or soak it overnight before you make shul or whatever, gets rid of gas as it cleans the actual barley as well.
Uh-huh. So so it's helpful. Like, and the question is, I've never heard of barley matzah though. I don't know exactly what they do for baking matzahs for the wheat or the spelt. Yeah. Have you heard of barley matzah? We spoke about it. I don't think barley is really, there's no need. People don't eat.
Too heavy barley.
Right. I actually looked into, I wanted to go baking matzahs this year. I was looking into it, all the different chumras. Didn't end up working out, maybe next year. But I was trying to investigate some of these halachas. There's a huge sefer, massive sefer, and just in baking matzahs. I tried going through a little bit, but it was quite overwhelming. All right, maybe next year. But there are a lot of halachas to it. So the Gemara says now, Eisive, Rapapalurava, Hakmachim Vasalto Shanachim, the different flowers of the Nachim, Shakvarim, if they're from the villages, Tahorim, then that type of flower is Tahor. The Shalkrachim, if they're from the larger cities, then Tumeim, they're Tumeim.
Okay, Tumeim.
So the Rashi says, Shalkvarim Tahorim. Say he says, Lefish ain't makpidim al solson, since in the villages they're not so careful about their solas. La solson nikia, to make it clean. Kolkach, they don't care if it has all the other the shells in it, whatever comes in the wheat. Lo lasse, they don't soak it in water. Lechita didu, nimse shlo huchshu, was never huchshu. Remember, to become tame, food to become tame, has to first be huchshu, come into contact with one of the seven liquids. And since they weren't kidding, care to have clean solace, they never washed it down in the first place. So it never came into contact with any of the waters. And if someone, then once it's talking about the Nachrim, who have a din of Tuma, alis medirabanam, it never made this food into Tame, because it was never washed prior to this. But this big cities, apparently they wanted solace nikki, they wanted this clean type of flour, and therefore they had to wash it down and soak the wheat first. That soaking of the water would make it huch shel Tuma. So Gemara says, "My time alav mishum." What's the reason? Lav mishum de lo lasse v'kakarle solas. Is it not because they did not wash it down in the place in the villages? They must not have washed it down, and yet you still call this solas. Calling it solas nakia, I guess. We're still calling it solas nakia, I guess, is the question. We still call it solas. So we said before, the only way to get solas, which is a nice, clean, clear piece of pieces of flour, that's only with lasisa. But in the villages, we said the villages was tahor. The solas found in the villages was tahor. Well, how do you get solas? The only way to get solas is by soaking it first. So if you soaked it first, how then will it be considered tahor? Must be that they never soaked it. The villagers never soaked it, and that's why it's tar. If it was never soaked, how are you able to call it solace? Must be you can accomplish solace without doing lasisa. That's the Gemara's kasha. And it's the Gemara, Targuma Akimcha. So no, it was a reference when it says Tahorin, it was specifically referring to the Kmochim, the flour, but not the solace. Solace is like a clearer and cleaner piece of flour. And Kmochim is regular unrefined type of flour, probably.
It's finer, the more you sift it.
And the cleaner you get, it becomes a pure piece of flour. So, Basu Dinofik, after he left, the Rav, I guess, walked out. Amar, my time alo emala, why didn't you answer the following way? Mehod Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Yirmio, Amar Shmuel, Chitin Shamunachos, Ein Losis and Osam, Bikokari Le Losolas. You should have said for the following, that Menachos, in the case of Menachos, that they would not do Lasisa, they would not soak in Menachos, and yet you would still call it a solace. So that also would have been a good kasha. Okay. You find this in a number of places where someone gives an answer, and then after he leaves, they give another answer. They were scared to say the initial answer in front of somebody else. You see the awe, the fear they had for the greater Rabbanah, they wouldn't respond in front of them. There's one interesting one in Gemara Baba Kama, I think it's Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was a very fiery individual. I think he was the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa, so he's a strong individual. So oftentimes you find Rav Nachman will say something, and a person is very scared to speak in front of him. After Rav Nachman leaves, then they'll say what they really wanted to say when he would left the room. Now, I'm not sure if that's the case with the Rav Pup and Rava. These are the people in the discussion here, but that does come up a number of times in chess.
Always they find that when they're sleeping,
when
there's a discussion going on.
Someone's dozing up, and he finally wakes up, and he responds. So it says the Gemara, Hada Amar Rava. Rava, and further, Rava has been really the person speaking most of the time here on this page. So Hada Amar Rava, mitzvah l'lasos. Not only is it mutter before, he said, now there's actually a mitzvah to do this lasisa, to do this soaking. Shenemar u'shmartim es ha-matzos. You are supposed to guard, provide shmira to the matzos. Now, eat low, the bar lissa, if you don't require the soaking, that stage of the soaking of the wheat, shimur lemai, where are you going to find any shemir? Where's the where? There's no relevant place for shemir. Why? Because ish shemir delisha. If you're going to watch over the kneading, the point where you have already the flour already cleaned, and then you put water in it to make a dough and start kneading them together. Shimur delisha lav shimuru. Watching over the lisha, that doesn't qualify as shmira. Why? How do we know this? The Amar of Huna b'tseikel shenachrim odum imala kriso men ubilvad shiyochol kizayis matzah b'achrona. B'achrona in b'rishon alo. So when a person has the dough of a nachum, we'll get to different definitions of what the dough of the nachum means, but dough of non-Jews, a person's able to fill his stomach up, he could eat it all Pesach, so long as the last piece of matzah he eats on Pesach night is that of a matzah made from a Jew, where it has shmira, but for the rest of it, you're allowed to eat it, and it's not considered a chametz, you're not yotzei matzvah, but it's not a good problem of chametz. So why is it not good chametz? Well, I've said, why is it not good for the matzah of shmir matzah? My time, mishum delo avid bei shimur. So what's the case of b'tekel shel nachrim? So Rashi tells us, the first wide line, b'tekel shel nachrim shemakir behen shel echmitza. You could look at the piece of dough that a non-Jew made, and you could tell that, oh, clearly wasn't chametz. She'en sham lo karni chagavim lo chsifu panav. Didn't have these different cracks and the shade of the dough, it's clear that it didn't become chametz. They're able to tell. It's a symbol, it's a sign, an indicator that the amount that there's no yeast there. So and a person is allowed to eat this.
The horns,
but I don't know how that presents itself in the dough.
That's expression of the cracks.
That's a reference to the cracks. So why the horns referred to as the cracks?
They look like on the dough little horns.
Okay.
And then the sifu ponim is the white. It's like when you marry somebody, the face becomes white, so if the dough starts becoming whiter,
then it becomes, that's an indication that it becomes it's chametz. So they're able to recognize that this dough made by the non-Jews was not chametz just yet. And you're able to eat it on Pesach. But why can you not eat it for the mitzvah of matzah? Because since it was made, it was kneaded, the lisha was done by a non-Jew, it didn't have the proper shmira. So it wasn't chametz, shmira, there are two dinim. One thing is it can't be chametz. The second thing is it has to have a positive level of shmira as well. So since a non-Jew did it, he did the kneading, so there's no shmira there, you can't be yotze your mitzvah of matzah, but you can still eat it because it's not considered chametz. So we see here, Let's do the next Rashi, two wide lines down. Shiyocho kazayis matzah b'achrona debahalo nafik yidei chovas matzah mishim dolavi leishimur l'shei matzah. There's no shmira. Vav api sha'anu ro'an she'in kan chimitz umiyu l'matzah shel mitzah shimur l'shma b'ina. You need this matzah to have a din of shmira. So says the Gemara. So liavi leishimur me'afir ve'lech. So, fine. So you have everything that was needed. There was no shmira beforehand. So why don't you do shmira once you bake it? You have the dough. You have the dough from the non-Jew. Take the dough when you start doing the afiyah and you bake it. The non-Jew can't bake it, but you do the baking. So then have the shmira during the shas afiyah. So why don't they suggest that? So elalav shmamina shmira mekarbina. It must be you need shmira from all the way in the beginning. All in the beginning when you take the wheat and you start soaking it to get off all the shells of it, that must be the time you need the shmira. So that's why Rabbah tells you there's a mitzvah to do lisa, there's a mitzvah to soak the wheat in the water, because if that's the moment, according to Rabbah, you're supposed to have the shmira. Because there's no other way, to no other place to have a shmira, according to this, right now in the Gemara.
Shmira is from the soaking.
Sorry?
From the soaking, that's what you need.
Exactly, you need the shmira from the soaking. Gemara asks, Mimai, Dilma shiny hasam, dimin the denachas the shimura, lavi le shimura. No. Maybe Lisha really is a time where you are allowed to have Shmira. The problem was, in the case of the Nachrim, when they did the kneading, there happened to have been no Shmira. No, but maybe the time when they were doing kneading, if you had Shmira, when you're doing the kneading, Enechanami would qualify as Shmira. It's only because when the Nachrim did the Lisha, they weren't able to do Shmira. So that's not a raya from the B'tekel Shenachim. Vafil Hachi, still despite that fact, that they seem to reject Rava, lo hada be Rava, Rava never retracted. Damar lehu, lohani de mahapech kipe. He said to the people, who were cutting. Rashi says the last line, "Mahapche kipe ha'amarin v'koshin es ha'amarin b'mosuk tzir." They would start making the bundles of the wheat in the field. He said to them, "Lahanu de mahapche piki ki mahapche." When you turn them over, when you create these bundles, l'shem matzah, l'shem mitzvah. Have in mind l'shem mitzvah. Alma kesavar shimer meikara mitchilas v'atzof abinim. Why does he tell you right from the beginning when you start making the bundles? Because Rafa holds right from the beginning, as early as possible, one is supposed to have Shmira all the way until the end. And that's why he also says Lasisa, because also from the beginning, it's unclear how to read this. Okay, once the Shmira of the Shas Ksira, why do you have to do Lasisa? The big Machol Kushishram, why you need the Lasisa? Because some say you have to have this opportunity where there's potential for Chametz. If there's ever potential for Chametz, so then there's no point of Shmira. You have to have this moment in time of the soaking of the wheat where it can turn to Chametz, and that's where you need this special type of Shmira.
I thought we said that you need Mashas when the wheat, they harvested the wheat when it was like a little green because they didn't want the water to. I thought the water is the problem.
But where we spoke about that, that's a Chai Adam who said you can't let the wheat sit in there for too long because when it starts to dry up, even the water could turn, make it turn to Chametz. Right. So that's not a din of the Shmira, that's more of a din of the Chametz. There are two dinim. One din of Shmira is that it can't turn to Chametz. So that din of it, you can't let it sit in the ground for too long, that's so it turns to Chametz. But to have this positive level of Shmira, which we'll get to in Machlokas, how that is, you need this positive level of Shmira, that only needs to exist to what Mishas Ksira. That's the earliest time you need, Shas Ksira.
That's what is he saying here? When you tie the bundles.
Right, so this is at a later stage, according to Rashi. Sounds like a little bit of a later stage. So the Shilta says Mishas Ksira. Rashi seems to say Mishas the Kshira. So others say Shas Tchina from Grania. There are all these different levels. Lichachila, the Shulchan Aruch Pastans, one should have it Mishas Ksira. That's the most ideal time, Mishas Ksira. And B'dievet, you could have it relying on a later moment. The Pri Chadash writes, no, even B'dievet, he did not allow anything less than Shas Ksira. And Mishnah Berurah says that's the ideal thing, to have Mishas Ksira, that's the most ideal. Happens to be, you can't find anything else other than Shas Ksira, so then you can rely on a later stage of the Shmir later on. But certainly, L'chachila, one should have Mishas Ksira. Now, in terms of what exactly the Lishma is, there's Machlokas Achronim, what exactly the Lishma does. The Onig Yom Tov writes, the Lishma is to have the proper Kavana, that the Gavra, the person who's performing the Afia and doing all the different actions, he has to have the proper Kavana, L'shem Mitzvah Matzvah. However, the Reb Chaim Brisk said there are really two dinim. Two dinim are, one is he has to have Kavana, the action he's doing is from the mitzvah of matzah. He also has to have, the din is the chalos shame on the matzah. It has to be a chalos, it's called a lashma. Lashma has to be chal on the matzah. I don't remember what the nafkaminas are, but those are the two dinim. One is the gaber has to have the Kavana, and number two is there is a chalos on the matzah of a being a lashma, of a matzah shel mitzvah.
So when they say watching over here, they mean watching the extra. Not that it should become chametz, saying watching that
to it. Infuse it with this shame, Lishma. Both those are really relevant, right? There's also machlokas here in defining b'tekel shel nachrim. There seems to be machlokas, Raivin and others. If a nachri is doing the kneading, can a Yisrael ha'omid agabav, a Yisrael who's watching over him, can his mind infuse the Lishma, even though he's not doing the actual maisa, could a Yisrael do the Lishma? So the Ravid writes that even if Yisrael is standing there, and the Yisrael says L'shem Mitzvah Matzah, but the Nachri is doing all the work, that does not work. While other Rishonim say no, that he can do, that Yisrael can infuse the Lishma even though he's external. So that we tell in this Machlokas. If you say Lishma is a din in the Maisa Afia, so only the person doing the Maisa, the actions, namely the Nachri, only he's allowed to infuse it with Lishma. A person standing on the side, Lechora, shouldn't be able to. But if the Lishma is being a Chalos on the Chametz, on the Matz rather, so even though I'm doing the action, another person could give it a Chalos Shem Lishma on top of the Chefza Shel Matzah. The last couple words in this Daf here, on this Amud, Mar Brei Dravina Minakte Le Ema Ba'arbe. What does that mean? It says Rashi, Minakte le ema chitin mitchilas ksir letzach pesach v'avdilhu shimer meikara. So he would collect these things. His mother would collect all these things in a plate and some type of bowl, and they would have the shmira mishas ksira according to this Rashi. That was the minag there. So this Rashi seems to be a source of shas ksira as the earliest stage of infusing with shmira. Hahu arba. There was a boat once. The chiti full of wheat, the tavo b'chishta. Sorry, it sunk it fell into the water in a river called Chishta. And Shari Rava Lizuni Lanachem, he allowed the owners to sell the wheat. Didn't get lost, but it was floating on top of the water, let's say. So the owner of the boat collected all the wheat now, which is all obviously soaked, and they permitted it to sell it to the Nachem. Sell it to non-Jews. Why? It wasn't quite chametz yet, so it was going to turn into chametz, so sell it to Nachem to avoid it from turning to chametz and getting no Israel not at all. So Gemara has a problem with how could you sell this to a Nachem? Eisivei, Rabba Bar Levi, the Rabba. Beged Sha'ovid Bo Kalaim. You have a garment that some Kalaim, some Shatnis, got lost within. Hareze Elohim Charenu Lo Nachri. A Jew cannot sell this to a non-Jew. Further, Velo Yaseh Bo Mardash Lechamer. You can't make it into a saddle for a donkey. Aval, however, Osin Oso Tachrichin LeMeis Lo Nachri. You are able to make it for a garment for a mace, a non-Jewish mace, to wear this. So my time, why can you not sell this kalayim to a non-Jew? A non-Jew is not required to keep the din of kalayim. He's allowed to wear kalayim. So sell the shatnez to a non-Jew. My time, alav lo, la mishum dehadir mazin liyisrael. Is it not because a non-Jew may then sell it to a Jew? So you sell it to a non-Jew, and you're not going to recognize the shatnez. He'd say, oh, I saw a Jew sell it to a non-Jew, and I'm going to go buy it from that non-Jew, since I know it came from a Jew. It probably didn't have shatnez in it, so I'm going to buy it. So that make sure that doesn't happen. Any shatnez cannot be sold to a non-Jew. So to here also, how could this wheat that was now soaked in the river be sold to a non-Jew? I'm going to see a Jewish sailor sold it to a non-Jew. I'm going to say, oh, it must not be chametz. I'm going to buy it from the non-Jew. That's going to be problematic. So why do we permit you to sell the chametz or this soaked wheat to the non-Jew?
That's if you think if you buy a garment from a non-Jew, so wouldn't you check it? I'm saying, why should you think that it's not shatnez?
So it's only because it came from the Jews. See, look at Rashi. Hareze lo yimcharenu lenachri. He says, Dehoil ve'ein kalayim shaboni karim. Os lezvune hai nachri l'Yisrael. Lars l'Yisrael v'lavadayte. So I thought maybe it's a Rashi elsewhere then. Maybe Rashi in a different place says, I think because since he saw that a Jew sold to non-Jew, he was going to assume it's probably not going to be shatnez. I think that was the case. But I don't see Rashi saying it here. But I believe that's Pshat. It must be Rashi elsewhere. This sugya comes up in a few places in Shas.
Makes sense.
It comes up in Avodah Zarah and Nida, I see. But I think that's the reason.
Because he saw the Jew selling to the non-Jew.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, I think that's what Rashi may say elsewhere. Do I have any Musa Rashi on the side? I don't have any Musa Rashi on the side, but I thought that was a pshat here. Okay, so that's so the important question is, why when it comes to shatnez, you cannot sell to non-Jew, but when it comes to this soaked wheat, you can sell to non-Jew. So says the Gemara, Hal Damar Rava, Rava respond, Lizvine Kava Kava Yisrael Ki Heichid Kalya Kam the Piska. You could sell, actually, when it comes to this soaked wheat, you could even sell to a Jew, but little by little, whereby it's talking about Erev Pesach or before Pesach at some point, where it's going to be finished before Pesach. That's when it's permitted. You're right. In Echanam, if it was Pesach, or if it was a lot of it, you couldn't sell to non-Jew, lest he sell to a Jew afterwards. If you sell little by little, whereby it will be finished before Pesach, then this is permitted. Now this discussion, the number of kashas based on this brayse about kalayim that the Rishonim ask. One is, why don't we apply the din of bittul barov? We have a strand of shatnez in this beged of kalayim. Normally we have the din of bittul barov. We have one piece of meat that falls with one nevela that falls with two kosher meat. You can't tell the difference. Midaraisa, you could eat two of them. Some say you could eat three of them, bittul barov. You could assume that most of them, most likely what you take up, because two of them are kosher, one of them is not, chances are you're going to pick up a kosher piece of meat, it's bittul barov. Why don't you say the same thing by kalayim, that say there's one strand of shatnez in this large beged, apply bittul barov.
That's all, exactly.
So
one strand with another.
Right, so why do you say that? So different answers are given. They do address this question. So they say is, when it comes to the other yisurim, there's a bittul barov where one heft is usur, the other objects are not. The whole nature, the whole definition of kalayim is each strand individually are mutter. The whole concept is mixing it together. It's a special type of, you don't apply bittul barov in such a case. Other answers that are given is that kalayim, shatnez, is an iser kolshu. Even the smallest amount of kalayim is going to be usr. There's no shear in how much it has to be. And the din is, when it comes to an iser that has no shear, even a kolshu is usr, we don't apply bittul barov to an iser of kolshu.
Same with hummus.
Exactly, just like hummus, exactly. And the Noda Behuda quoted from his son that we have this din, something that's a chashiv piece of meat. Haticha rulis kabid, a piece of meat that you would serve to an honored guest, something like that, is not. We don't apply bittel there. So each strand apparently is considered chashiv. Each strand is very, obviously the overall thing, one strand means nothing, but each individual strand is considered a chashiv object, and therefore you don't apply bittel to such a case. Okay, so let's look at Rashi one second. Rashi, aval osa tachuichin lemeis, you can make the shatnez, you could use it for the mace. So says Rashi, demi hasam sulo shakule, the big damn mace asurin bahana, they're not going to take it because the begadim of a mace are asur bahana. Umeis ain mitzos no hagis bo. A mace does not have to keep the mitzos. The chsiv b'meisim chavshi. The meisim are free, meaning they're free of mitzos. Came in shemeis. Adam nase chavshi mina mitzos. He's no longer obligated to do mitzos. The hanichit sofan. That's what Rashi says. So I think Rashi must have a different girsa. Our girsa says you could sell them to the tachuichim lemeis lenachri, to a non-Jewish mace. Rashi seems to say you could sell it for a mace, stam, a mace. Tosfos seems to say the same thing. For a Jewish mace, you are allowed to use shatnez, you are allowed to use kalayim, because a mace is pater from mitzvahs. So the question is, we have this concept of loig l'rush. Loig l'rush means you can't wear tzitzis, you can't wear tefillin when you're in the, at least tzitzis we should say, you can't wear tzitzis in the base klaros, out, where it could be seen by the mace, whatever that means, because loig l'rush, you're basically making fun of them that you can't do mitzvahs, I can, tuck your tzitzis in. So why don't we say the same thing here also? I'm allowed to wear shatnez because I keep mitzvahs. You are. Here, wear some shatnez because you don't have to keep mitzvahs. You're free of mitzvahs. That's the question they ask. So a number of answers are given. One answer is given that tzitzis is different. Tzitzis is shkula keneged kol mitzvahs. Tzitzis is equal. Gematria 613, Rashi tells us. It's equal to 613 mitzvahs. It's a powerful, it's a very big mitzvah. That's loig l'rush. That's making fun. They can't perform this special mitzvah of tzitzis. But shatnez, it's a lav. It's an important mitzvah, of course, but it's not so important. It's not the same level, same caliber as tzitzis, so that's not really so much making fun. The Aruch HaNer wants to be mechalik between a mitzvah asay and a mitzvah los asay. Mitzvah asay, he says, I'm making fun, you can't be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis, any mitzvah asay. When it comes to shatnez, you're not making fun that you can't be mekayim. It's not about being accomplishing a keem of doing anything active. When it comes to mitzvah los asay, it doesn't apply, apparently, to a mace.
Weren't you concerned that with Chias HaMeisim, the Meisim
That's a good kasha. I guess maybe at that point. Yeah, I guess if we accept Mashiach to come soon, but.
Somebody's job was just buried.
That's a good kasha. There's a discussion of what clothing the Meis wears when he Chias HaMeisim. That very question, I don't know who deals with it, but I've heard this question. That very question seems to say that he may not be wearing the clothing he's buried in. Miraculously, he'll be given a new suit, or so, I don't know. Or others might say, no, whatever he's buried in, and if it disintegrated, he had nothing. Whatever he is, whatever state he's in, that's what he's going to be in. Same question with after time, that all the clothing disintegrates, he has nothing to wear. So that's not too much better. It's better than shatnez, according to Gemara and Brachah. It's better to wear nothing than shatnez, but not too much better.
Because these two tailors, they said, the Chias HaMeisim, it's going to be, just think of how much business they're going to get because of all the Meisim getting up. So the guy said to him, he says, you fool. He says, there's going to be, when this Chias HaMeisim, there's also going to be thousands of tailors that are also going to get up at the same time. So what he said, you're going to get all the business. So he said, yeah, he says, it's right. He said, but we'll know the latest styles.
Okay, and one other answer to this kasha, Logi L'Rush, the din of Kalayim, the Issa Kalayim is getting mischamim, getting warmth, getting hana from the Kalayim. There's no hana to the mace, so there's no Issa Kalayim. Like if you have an uncomfortable chair, a hard chair, maybe a shatnez, there's no Issa midderais, there's no Issa at all. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara now. We are running out of time, actually. Tanur Rabbanan. Ein molin es akadera bepesach. Rashi, molin means you can put flour on the outside of the pot. The flour is a good way of kind of using as Pam to make sure nothing sticks. I wrote to Shimilo, if somebody wants to put the flour on the inner sides of the pot inside, nosin es akemach v'acharkach nosin es chomes. First place the flour, sprinkle it with flour, and then put the vinegar afterwards. V'yeshom, however, others say the opposites are permitted as well. Af nosin es akemach v'acharkach nosin es akemach. Then you can place the oil, and then the flour. That is also permitted. So manish omrim, who's the one who permits this out of order? Amrav Chista, Rebbe Yehudahi, Yitzan ha'ilfis v'kadera, different types of pots. Shehaviran b'roschen, you remove it from the fire while it's still boiling. Lo yitein l'tocha tavlin, one should not place spices in it. This is talking about Shabbos, because it's a kli rishon. A kli rishon is a kli that's on top of the fire. That's kli rishon sha'agabe ha'esh. You remove the kli rishon, you remove the pot of soup from off the fire, and it's still boiling, it's still yad shel ezbo, that's considered kli rishon, the very first kli. A person cannot place spices in this, let's say pepper and others, in this kli rishon, because the kli rishon is going to be mevashel on Shabbos. Aval, however, nosin l'tocha kara or tocha tamchoy. But if you take the soup, place it into a bowl, or the hot thing onto a plate, then you could put spices, because that's a kli sheni. A kli sheni is not mevashel. That's all the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lechol who knows hein chutz midvar sheyesh b'chomei tzvitzir. You could place it into anything as long as it doesn't have as long as no vinegar and sir, which is like the brine, I think, from the from fish. So what? How do we know this? Sorry, how do we know this is Rabbi Yehuda? Let's see. I'm not remembering here. Says Rashi, lechol who knows hein. As it looks like, the chol who knows saying. As it looks like Rashi v'yesh omrim further up. V'yesh omrim af nosin achomis tchila daf agav de chomis kvar mura b'tavshil. Even though if you put the oil in first, it's going to get mixed up in the tavshil and won't stay on the outside. Hu mevashil asanitein besocho. It's going to cook that which within it. I'm not remembering what's going on here. What does the article say about this? Let's see, I always rely on you guys to help me out here if I get stuck.
You want to know how we know this is Rabbi Yehuda?
Yeah, why are we saying that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the opinion that says you could place the chometz in first and then the kemach? Okay, the reason, remember, we saw earlier that chometz, if you have vinegar will not allow it to turn into chametz, right? So if there's flour there, so we don't want the flour, talking about Pesach, we don't want the flour to turn into chametz. So having the vinegar there, the vinegar is going to prevent the flour from turning into chametz. So if you place the flour in first, and then the chometz, then the vinegar, that's going to prevent it. But the concern is, but let's say you put the vinegar in first, the vinegar might get mixed up with the tavshil that's there, and won't have the same impact on the flour, because first I have the vinegar. It gets mixed up. Then I put flour in, so the flour is the vinegar won't be potent anymore, won't be able to prevent the flour. If you put the flour in first, and then put the vinegar, that's going to be a strong effect on the flour. So who allows you to do it out of order? That says even when the vinegar is still mixed in, the vinegar is still going to have this effect on the flour. We're saying that's Rabbi Yehuda. So I guess Rabbi Yehuda here says that the power of vinegar is so strong that even though it's mixed into something, it's still going to have that strength to prevent the flour from turning to the chametz. That's the din here, I guess. So Gemara says, so this is a Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So no kma Rabbi Yossi. Maybe say Rabbi Yossi's the opinion. Because didn't we say above that Rabbi Yossi omer, shorin b'chometz v'chometz somsam. You can soak the flour in the vinegar, and the vinegar will prevent the flour from turning into chametz. Why are you saying it's Rabbi Yehuda and not Rabbi Yossi? Gemara says, kish ashminan le Rabbi Yossi, when we heard Rabbi Yossi's opinion, hanimila de isa bene. We only heard his opinion when the vinegar is be'en, when it's untouched, when it's in the pure state. Aval ayde tarovas lo, but we never heard such a thing that when vinegar is mixed with something else, it will still be able to prevent the flour from turning to chametz. Rabbi Yehuda we see here, though, Rabbi Yehuda says, even when this mixture, this tavshil, has vinegar in it, still that vinegar is able to be mevashel, the tavlin that are in there, even ayde tarovas. So Rabbi Yehuda explicitly says that. That's why we prefer to say Rabbi Yehuda is the author and not Rabbi Yossi. Ulamar echazev echazev aser. Both these cases are aser. Both cases, which cases? Says Rashi. Echazev echazev. Bein chometz tchila, bein chometz besof aser. Whether you put the vinegar and then flour, or the flour then vinegar and chometz, both cases are aser. Not because fundamentally aser, but rather because mishum lech lech amrina nizira. We say to a nazir, go away. Schor schor lekarma lo sikrav. Go far away. Go away from the vineyard. Why? A nazir, obviously we know, cannot have wine and can't have grapes. So why can't he walk in the vineyard? He's allowed to walk in the vineyard. There's no problem. The concern is if he goes too close, he might eat a grape off the tree. So that's a simple exera. Here also, it's getting a little bit too close. Putting flour in a tavshil, even though the vinegar really has the effect to prevent the flour from turning to chametz, it's still a little too close for comfort when it comes to Pesach. We want to stay far, far away from chametz. So therefore, Ula advises never to put any flour into a tavshil in Pesach. Rav Papa Sharilei Libraduke, Rav Papa permitted Libraduke de Beresh Galusa. Who were the Braduke? Rashi says the Nachtomim, the bakers of the house of Beresh Galusa, Limimche Kederav Bechasise, able to put flour into the Tavshil. So Rashi says Bechasise is Kimcha Davshune. Any definitions of what that really means in English?
Honey flour.
Honey flour? From Lashon Dvash, you think? So honey flour? Okay, yeah, some type of honey flour. He permitted them to put honey flour in the kedera on the tafshil in Pesach. Amarava, Ika Deshari, there are those who permit ki hai mil, so they permit this thing, biduchda deshchichi avde. They permit it in the place where there were avadim, there were servants there. So is this supposed to be more of a question form, perhaps? Right, so exactly. Is the person really allowed to get a bitmiya? Not in Rashi, onto the bitmiya in Rashi, but I think it must be. It really permitted Igad the Shariki and Milsa Beduchta the Shrika Avdi. You permit using flour in place of Avadim, you can't trust them. Says Rashi, Beduchta the Shrika Avdi, Kigon Beresh Kalusa, Shavadim, Mizalzlim, Medavar, Isa, Yosef, Yoser. The Avadim in the house of Resh Kalusa were Mizalzlim, Yisurim all the time. You could trust them to put flour into the pot, it doesn't make sense. You find this actually a number of places of Shas also, that the Avadim of the Resh Kalusa caused a lot of problems. The Gemara in Gittin, that talks about Rav Papa or Rav Sheshes, one of them was blind, they tried serving him, a piece of Davar Isser, and he knew he was in the house of Resh Kalusa, he knew he couldn't trust them, and he tricked them, even though he's blind, he tricked them and proved that the house of the Resh Kalusa was serving Dvar Masurim. Yigadamri, there are those who say Rava Gufa Machilai Kidra Bechasisa. The other version was Rav himself did put flour into the Tafshil on Pesach. Let's try to get this submission in at least in the next few minutes. The Mishnah says Ein Nosin Kemach Lato Charoses. A person shouldn't put any flour into a charoses, which has a chometz in it. Rashi says, and people would do some type of dip for the meat. So, all the tochardel or within mustard, v'mnasan yocham yad. If you do put it in these things, which are very strong, like the chardel mustard, eat it right away, because it's going to make it turn to chametz pretty quickly. Rabbi Meir also said, no, you can't eat it. Once you put it flour in a moment, in these very strong elements, and chardel and charoses, it's also to eat. Says the Mishnah, seemingly an unconnected idea. Ein mevashen es pesach, the carbon pesach, one cannot cook it, lo b'mashkin, you can't cook it in water, because the pasuk says it has to be tzli, roasted. Roasted means there's no liquid, so you can't bake it in mashkin. Lo b'mei peros, you can't use fruit juices either to bake the, or to cook the carbon pesach. Aval sachin, you can smear the outside of the pesach with the fruit juices and liquid, but just can't bake it in it, cook it in it. Umat bilin osa behen, then you could dip, use the pesach to dip it into the mei peros. Now the Mishnah says another seemingly unconnected thing. So the Rashi explains, so they would dip their hands in the water to cool off their hands while they were braiding the dough and making the matzah properly. They would wash in between and cool off the hands. So they'd have this dough with the flour on the hand dipping back and forth into the water. That water has all this flour now soaked in it that has potential to turn into chametz. Let's quickly go a few more lines. I'm sorry. Amar Rav Kana Machokas Atocharda. The Machokas, whether you're allowed, Tana Kama says you can eat it right away, and the Rav Meir says you cannot eat it right away. That whole Machokas is only when the Kamach goes into the Chardel, into the mustard. While Tocharoses, Divri Akol Yisrof Miyad, everybody agrees it goes into the Charoses, nobody allows you to eat it. You have to burn it right away. Tani Nami Hochi Ain Nosin Kemach Latocha Charoses, you can't place it in the Charoses. Im Nosin, if you do place it, the Yisraf Miyad. However, Latoch Chardel, Rabbi Meir Omer Yisraf Miyad, Chacham Omer Yocham Miyad. All right, we'll stop here, and the Mishnah will pick up tomorrow.